This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Don't you guys see? Don't you realize? We've got a chance.
Chance at what, Mikey? Getting killed? Besides, we gotta get to the police.
Maybe Chunk already got to the police.
Maybe Chunk is dead.
Don't say that. Never say that. Goonies never say die. Our parents, they want the best of stuff for us. But right now, they gotta do what's right for them. Because it's their time. Their time. Up there. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here. That's all over the second we ride up Troy's bucket.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. It is Tuesday, which means, as always, we are throwing it back to an older film. And today, in the spirit of our very rough theme this week of people like beings gathering together to save stuff, we are going to be talking about The Goonies today from 1985 and, of course, Eternals tomorrow.
I'm going to preface this by saying, one, this is the first time I'm actually watching The Goonies, and I've been so excited for this moment to come, just because, unlike Lynn, I'm actually a big fan of things from the movies from the 80s and TV shows from the 80s. I just wanted to say, though, that I feel like this is one of those examples of films that might not have aged as well as many people think. It's one thing to have watched it and loved it and grown up loving it. I think it's an entirely different thing to watch it for the first time today.
So I completely agree that the movie has not aged well in a number of places. Like, a few things are just old, and they're just stuck in the 80s. I love it specifically because it sort of expands on that idea, that fantasy that every kid has, that their neighborhood or the place they live in is more interesting than it actually is. You know, like, you go around and you search for treasure maps, or you think like the big longkang behind your house leads to some underground labyrinth that has like pirate ships, or, you know, whatever is whatever, right? There's a secret city underneath the place you live. And I love that. I love that the movie takes it seriously. I love that the movie sort of went all in on that concept. And I love that it's a movie that you can watch as a kid and enjoy and go like, oh, is there some buried treasure where I live? And you can watch it as an adult and just enjoy it as fun popcorn entertainment.
So that's roughly the story, actually, what Arvin just said, I think. You know, it's a bunch of kids who are living in a neighborhood that is about to be taken over because of a country club expansion. Like, how much more capitalist or anti-capitalist could you get? And they gather to say a last hurrah to their neighborhood. Incidentally, they find a pirate map. Incidentally, they decide, hey, you know what we could do? We could follow the map and try to save our neighborhood. And that's essentially it. And I will say that this is my second time watching the film, but I watched it very much as an adult. I've only watched it for the first time very recently. And so for once in an 80s discussion, I'm going to land firmly in the middle, because I totally get all that stuff about loving the adventure of it, of taking childhood preoccupations very seriously. And that sense of adventure is such a strong thing. I mean, it's got everything in it. It's got a treasure, it's got waterfalls, it's got gold, you know, it's got all these different things. On the other hand, it's really shrill, huh? it's a really shrill film, and there are definitely parts of it that don't hang together very well. Even down to, I think, the camaraderie between the kids. For me, watching as a grown-up, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure I get that. So yeah, I land firmly in the middle. I see both sides. I'm going to play arbiter today.
So I actually agree that the adventure part and the actual mechanics of the adventure they go on is hands down the best thing about the film. And it's probably why towards the perhaps the last quarter, when all of these things sort of start coming to a head and you see some really sort of fabulous adventuring going on, and, you know, the climax of the film, I actually really loved it. I love the ending as well. But the journey there, my God, I had such a headache. So shouty, so shrill. And I think unlike the other two 80s gold standard films, well, I say two, but really, you know, films like It or Stand By Me, which all have the same rough frame of a group of misfit kids going on some kind of adventure, those kids had, I think, a sort of a difference in personality, and there's a rise and fall to their interactions, their moments of quiet, their moments of adventure. Somehow Goonies just escalates to a particular pitch and seems to stay there for almost all of it. There are some small moments which are actually quite sweet. I just wish there were more of them. I'm sorry, guys. I found myself just wanting to mute or turn the volume down every 5 minutes.
Isn't that what kids are like in actual, like, real life? Because that's exactly what I thought when I watched it. So I also watched it as an adult. Maybe the first time I saw it was about 7-8 years ago. Then I watched it recently again for this show. And I love I admire how true to life the shrillness and the shrieking and the high-pitchedness. And they talk over each other, like so many scenes. They're just talking at the same time. They're talking over each other. The movie is messy and they are messy and you don't know what's going on. And I'm like, that is exactly what children are like at that age. Like, they don't know when to stop and they don't know when to begin.
It's because the adults around them are shouting as well. I think it's that. It's like no one has a tone that's lower than, like, you know, ear piercing.
But that's a very 80s sensibility, right? I mean, if you think about the different styles of the way dialogue is written and delivered, if you compare something from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s, 90s, etc., you are going to hear different paces, different pitches, and also different styles of conversation. So the whole talking over each other, the naturalistic yelling and making fun, and all the tugging, both literal as well as verbal, that happens throughout the film, that I think is a very 80s kid sensibility. So again, I could kind of wrap my head around it. Mostly, I think that it really depends what you come to the movie for. So if I had come to the movie hoping to see a heartwarming tale about friendship, a la Stand By Me, then I would have been disappointed. I loved Stand By Me for that reason. I think that to me is like the gold standard of how to do it for kids and for boys, really, at that age. But I came to it wanting adventure. You know, I came to it thinking, you know what I'm in the mood for today? I feel like watching a film in which a bunch of characters set out on an adventure. I want to feel that way. And for that reason, The Goonies worked. It also meant that I could ignore all the stuff that was a bit slower or that wasn't really making sense, not really fitting together very well, because at every turn they would be like, here's a new thing. And I'm like, all right, Indiana Jones with 10-year-olds, fine.
Actually, that aspect was really fun, right? And one character, Data, is my favorite. I don't know if anyone thinks Data is their favorite, but to me, I found him the most sort of kid-like kid in that group. You know, he's mad about inventions and he sort of comes up with these things that don't always work, but are always really earnest and cute at the most opportune moment. I enjoyed stuff like that. And I can see the joys of something like The Goonies. I can see the joys of it, particularly when you're at that age and you watch it. It also, of course, does that other 80s thing, which I do really miss about film, which is treat kids like adults. They are by and large left to their own devices. They can do whatever they want. And adults, I think, very minimal supervision for them. And all of that, I think, is a sort of filmmaking and storytelling about children that we rarely get anymore. And those things I enjoyed.
I think The Goonies was also criticized for being way too crude and way too crass with the language and some of the things that happen in the movie itself. I don't know. I feel like that is also a very 80s trope. Like, they say they curse a lot, they swear a lot, they'll use a lot of words that you won't find in kids' movies from today. And I'm not going to say that I admire those things, but I appreciate those things, because in, like, old interviews with Steven Spielberg, who wrote this movie, he said that he loves writing kids that way, or he likes showing kids that way. It's because that's how they talk when adults are not around. Like, when they're not supervised, they tend to use language like that. And I appreciated those aspects of the movie a lot.
So we're talking today about The Goonies from 1985. A mixed bag of reviews here, I think, all of us having watched it as adults and therefore not coming to it with the nostalgia that you would have if you watched it as a kid. But let us know. I mean, did you watch The Goonies? Do you still love it? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Everybody, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Shyamalan and Arvin, and on Throwback Tuesday today, we're taking it back to 1985 and the Goonies. So we mentioned the group of kids, we talked about the adventure that they're on. I wanted to touch on the cast because the thing is, right, there are so many famous people in here who are still acting as adults, and it's really fun to see them playing it up as kids. Sean Astin is Mikey, the central character, the main Goonie who keeps driving the plot forward. You've got Josh Brolin as Brand. You've got Corey Feldman as Mouth. You know, you've got Martha Plimpton. It's just a lot of people who are 80s stalwarts and who are actually still really well known today.
I mean, you have Samwise Gamgee, you have Thanos. What else do you need? All in their pre-career, well, Josh Brolin, that's not his career making role, but it's what he's most known for these days. And of course, with I think watching it with that lens, looking back at these actors and their beginnings, it's sort of the same thing we talked about when we threw back to Stand By Me, right? You see these faces and you kind of know what they've grown up to be. There's a lot of nostalgia going back and looking at what they were like as children. I also actually very much enjoy watching films that have child actors, primarily because it's a very different way of filmmaking. And that's another kind of pleasure. I think Steven Spielberg does that really well. Richard Donner, I think, has a lightness of touch that works really well in this film. I don't think my problem is with any of those things. I think it's really just perhaps it's one of those movies that for me doesn't feel like it adds anything to my, like when I look back, I wish I'd watched it as a kid and not as an adult. I think that's what I land on.
I also don't know how much of what they're doing is like actual performance and acting and just like actual natural chemistry, because Spielberg knows how to create chemistry with his cast. Richard Donner knows how to create chemistry with the cast. Chris Columbus wrote this also. He knows how to do that as well. And I think that there's this piece of trivia where they said the first time the kids get to see the ship, the actual pirate ship, is the first time that they're actually seeing it in real life. So their reactions are completely natural. And they're seeing this giant set piece in front of them and they're just doing what kids would do. And I love that story because I think that's the sort of chemistry and the sort of quote-unquote magic that carries forward in the whole film. I think they are actually friends with one another, with a bit of acting here and there, maybe 35-45%. If it wasn't, then they are really good actors.
I think the performances are sweet, partly because you know how it is that they're going to look like and be and sound as adults. That's one of the great things about child stars when it works out, right? When child stardom actually works. And the other thing is just exactly like you said, Arvin, the chemistry is really sweet. The story itself has an inherent sweetness at its heart. That's what it is. It's just a warm, fuzzy story about a bunch of kids trying to save their neighborhood, trying to stay together as friends, not be split up. And that part really worked. I think the kids' attachments to one another really worked. Some of the stuff that didn't, and I wanted to come back to this, is this idea of what it means to be a Goonie. Because this is something that the movie just really keeps hammering you with over the head. You know, it keeps saying, we're Goonies, we got to keep going. And then you scale up my pitch like 8 times and you're where they are in the film. And I didn't get that. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if I'm missing something, but I did not get the whole, we are Goonies, let's do this together vibe. And I missed that. I think if I had had that in the film, I would have enjoyed it more.
No, I agree. I mean, it's one of those things that they say a lot more than they show you. There's even a scene where one of the children say, well, one of the characters say, well, but I'm not a Goonie. And then someone else says, well, you are one now, you know, this sort of thing. And I'm just like, what does that even mean, though? Like,
what is a Goonie?
Exactly. I mean, they live in the Goon docks. That's what it is, right? But I guess there's some clues. You can see the kinds of houses they live in. You can see the fact that they don't necessarily seem to have a lot of the luxuries of life, those kinds of things. But it's very minimal. I think it's almost taken as a given that we don't care too much. And perhaps as kids, we wouldn't have cared too much, right? That was one. For me, the other letdown was actually the antagonists or the villains. They were kind of fine, but they were bumbling and not particularly scary in a way that didn't work at all. I mean, if you want to, this is an 80s film. You could have pushed the threat a lot more. I mean, Pennywise exists in the same sort of era. The villains here never really feel like they're dangerous. It never really feels like there's any threat. And most of the time, they're really annoying. I found the bad guys super annoying, which was tough to keep watching.
I always thought that Goonie was just a silly thing they said, like the name of a clubhouse. So I don't know if I thought too much about it. I just thought it's this, you know, how they create like gangs for themselves, and the gangs actually are very fluid and loose and don't actually make a lot of sense. That's just how I accepted the Gooniness. I think my biggest issue was that the whole sense of the kids knowing that this is going to be their last time doing something, or the finite nature of friendships when you're a kid, I thought that was a very adult thing, and felt like adults projecting onto kids to say things that adults would say. So you're watching it and sort of reflecting on your childhood and the friends that maybe you've lost touch with along the way, right? I don't know. Those things, I know this movie is not trying to be realistic, but it sort of went a bit too far, because I don't see 9 or 10-year-olds feeling the weight of losing touch with their friends. Like I didn't. I lost touch with so many friends at that age, and they just like moved houses. And it didn't affect me. It affected me like 5 to 6 years later when I understood that I lost a really close friend. You know what I mean?
I get that. But maybe, I suppose this is what it comes down to, right? I wanted more of the adultness. And I think that could have made sense if the story had bothered to bake it in, as opposed to randomly sprinkling it like as they went on. It was like, it's not very clear at the outset the degree of loss. Instead, it's something that becomes clearer as the movie goes on. It suddenly becomes, oh my gosh, you know, this is the last time we'll do this. Oh my gosh, tomorrow we have to move out. And other than that, it's not that clear. And so I used the word sweet a lot earlier, but in line with that idea of adultness, I wish there had been more bittersweetness. I wish that there had been more of that element. And I think that would have helped to tamp down some of the excesses of the film. It would also have made the threat of the villains more serious without necessarily having to super villain the villains.
So that gets me thinking about that perennial question. And I think it was a question that was a lot more relevant to these 80s films, which is, who are these movies actually for, right? Because these films come from an era where the audience was a lot more general. So when you made a film about kids, it would also generally be for adults. And Goonies, I think, is one of those that doesn't wear that mantle very comfortably. There are others that do it very, very well. This one kind of feels a little bit like it doesn't know what it wants to do. Does it want to appeal to the adults who'd identify with that sense of loss of home, loss of friendships? Or does it just want to be a fun adventure, which is also fine, but it doesn't quite get there either for me, not consistently.
That is quite interesting, because I and I might be getting this like completely wrong, because I read this after watching it for the first time. There was this review on Roger Ebert's website where he said that there used to be movies for kids and then there used to be movies for adults. And Steven Spielberg sort of came in and changed all of that. Like, he blurred the lines between what is meant for kids and what is meant for adults. And these movies can be enjoyed by anyone. And I felt that The Goonies is exactly that. It's a movie that adults won't be bored by, and it's a movie that's designed inherently for kids. At least that's how I approached it. And I guess for me, it worked in that way.
Yeah, I want to come back to what Sharmila said a little earlier on, which is, I wish I'd watched this as a kid. If I'd watched this as a kid, mm-hmm. I think I would have loved it so much. I can totally see it worming its way into my pop culture dictionary and me referencing it all over the place. But as an adult, I will say that I'm glad I finally get the references when people say, you know, whatever, whatever, the Goonies. And I loved still the sense of adventure. But I think I'm missing out like 80% of the enjoyment of this film because I'm not a 7-year-old or 8-year-old or 10-year-old who's watching it.
No, I used to go on treasure hunts with my friends, you know. And so I think I don't know, maybe my expectations were really high. Maybe I wanted to just sort of love this film so much because it was that one movie left in my whole 80s repertoire that people always talk about that I hadn't watched. And then I watched it and it just kind of didn't do it for me. And again, yeah, maybe it's just one of those things. Maybe I'll never get the Goonies and that's just going to be the gap for me.
I guess another reason why I'm happy it exists is because we get things like Stranger Things. And Stranger Things is so heavily inspired by Goonies. I mean, literally the Goonie is in season 2 or season 3 of Stranger Things, like the Goonie. So yeah, that's just one of those things. I'm pretty sure it served as like a template for so many other movies that they tried to make after that, especially stuff like Stranger Things and Super 8, all those kinds of movies.
I'm glad I watched this at this point in my 80s journey, because if you guys had tried to make me watch this early on, I tell you, we would not be Goonies no more. We are talking today about the Goonies from 1985. Directed by Richard Donner. Let us know. I mean, did you watch it as a child or when you were younger? Do you remember loving it? Have you seen it? Tell us everything. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.